One thing that you have all likely noticed over the past couple of decades of U.S. politics is a proliferation of hatred. So we have hatred of people with different political opinions, hatred of other political parties, and chiefly hatred of our political leaders. The main focus of these emotions is typically the largest single player in the U.S. political scene. That's the President of the United States. The past U.S. presidential election has seen a massive shift of public opinion. The previous president was vehemently hated by a significant portion of Americans, and the current president is vehemently hated by a different significant portion of Americans. So given the swing, it's likely that no matter what part of the political spectrum they align with, most people have had a strong negative opinion about one of the past two American presidents. So how do we deal with this? What does God say about how we should think of our political leaders? Let's consider the early church, which, after Christ's death, had a divisive political leader as well. This was Roman Emperor Nero. Nero was widely considered to be one of the most brutal Roman emperors when it came to persecuting Christians. This was typified with the Great Fire of Rome in 64 AD, which burned down two-thirds of the city. To dispel rumors that Nero himself was responsible for the fire, he blamed and in turn persecuted the early Christian church for this disaster. Roman historian Tacitus wrote, "Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class of people hated for their abominations, called Christians by the populace." The epistles of Peter were written during this time, during the reign of Nero, and in these books, we're given advice about how we should act when confronted with political leaders that we have strong negative opinions about. In Peter's second epistle, he wrote three words that are particularly striking when knowing the context of the persecution of the early church. Honor the king. Honor the king. If you'd all turn to 1 Peter 2:17, let's take a closer look at these words. Again, that is 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I would like to delve into exactly what it means to honor the king and why we should honor the king, even if we perceive them to be unjust. Let's break down this verse so we can gather a complete understanding of what it means to honor the king. Both occurrences of the word honor in this verse are from the Greek root word timotei. Somebody, if they want to correct me on my Greek pronunciation, I will appreciate that. That's Strong's 5091 for reference. This word is commonly translated as honor, price, appraisal, assessment, dignity, religious honor, inner worth, or value. It is often used to describe the honor we must show God and is used in the context of honoring parents, widows, and church leadership as well. This honor we are commanded to give the king is the same honor we are commanded to give people we run into every day, as well as established authorities in our lives, such as God and parents. So what is honor not? Let's look at the other two commands in this scripture, or two of the other commands in the scripture, love the brotherhood and fear God. Most commentaries would agree that the brotherhood refers to the church community at the time, our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Greek word for love used here is from the root agape. We are commanded to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are not commanded to love the king. So let's look at the next part. Fear God. This term fear comes from the Greek word phobista, Strong's 5399. This is commonly defined as fear and exhortation or fear and reverence. This is distinctly different from how we are commanded to treat the king or the people. We are commanded to fear, exhort, and revere God. We are not commanded to fear, exhort, and revere the king. So then that begs the question, who is the king? So the word for king, enlisted in 1 Peter 2:17, literally translates to ruler or royalty. In one case, it refers to land or a domain. The Greek word is basileia, Strong's 935, and is used to refer to both godly spiritual kings, such as Christ or the kingdom of God, as well as is used to refer to earthly kings. So what does that mean to us? Well, Peter adds context to this king mentioned in the scripture. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 14, equates submitting the kings to submitting to any worldly authority. Again, that's 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. So in this passage, who are we supposed to honor? Every ordinance of man. So this means any kind of authority, be it the president, the state governor, or homeowners association, a post office, police officer. All of those are ordinances of man. So who is the king? Well, it shouldn't really matter who the king is specifically. We are commanded to submit to every ordinance of man the same way we would submit to the king. So now we know what it means to honor the king, but if the king is someone as godless and brutal as Emperor Nero, we have to ask the question, why must we show him honor? This is a ruler who allegedly tied animal skins to Christians and let dogs tear them apart. Why would God command us to honor a man like that? Well, let's ask Peter. He begins this section of scripture by providing a guidebook for living in the world as God's people. This is found starting in 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Reading in verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." We need to honor the king to glorify God. Our honor will stand out compared to the hatred and divisiveness of modern politics, and because of this, God will be glorified. What is another reason we should honor the king? Well, we need to honor the king as an example of being submissive to masters. And 1 Peter 2:13, which we read earlier, commands us to submit to every ordinance of man. Peter continues this in verse 18 with more specificity. Turn just a page over to 1 Peter 2, verse 18. And it reads, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, but only to the good and gentle, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." This submission to masters is something that most of us run into on a daily basis. We've all had bosses in some role or another, and a lot of them we probably didn't like, and we may have had good reasons. They might have been bad managers, or had personality issues, or didn't like us for one reason or another. But that doesn't matter. We are still commanded to give them honor. God, in fact, commends us for when we submit to these harsh masters. The honor we are commanded to give the king is a type of the honor we are commanded to give masters in our day-to-day lives. One final reason why we need to honor the king can be found in a common parallel scripture. I think you are all have been thinking this. If you could turn back to Romans 13. We'll read verses 1 through 7. Again, that's Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. Starting in verse 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you must also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. This concept of God's minister in authority is listed several times in this passage of Scripture. God gives authority to these earthly entities. Every ordinance of man, we are commanded to render them their due. These earthly kings are God's ministers. Whether we like what they do or not, they wouldn't be doing it if not for God's allowance. So if we fail to honor the king, we fail to honor God. Honoring the king is directly applicable to our modern day lives. It gives us an example of how we are supposed to think about one of the major villains to the Christian church at the time. Nero was likely the subject of a lot of negative opinions by members of the early church. He had a reputation for being one of the most brutal persecutors of Christians in history. This example is provided to us to highlight the worst of the worst. If we are commanded to honor a man like Nero, then do we have any excuse to not honor the kings in our lives? As we navigate the world and deal with godless political, work-related, or any other kind of worldly authorities, we need to remember the command to honor the king.